Well, this evening we're going to continue our teaching, Mountain Moving Faith. This is probably of the sections of teaching on the different topics that we've covered so far. This will be the last topic we cover in Mountain Moving Faith. And with the things that we've talked about so far in Mountain Moving Faith, we'll just give a quick summary here. We've covered seven different areas of Mountain Moving Faith in our teaching. And just to say that Mountain Moving Faith is just the regular kind of faith. Jesus spoke to his disciples. He didn't say it was any kind of special faith. He just said what faith is. And he used it as mountain moving faith. So anyhow, we taught really from the standpoint, the first part that we had taught in, that, you know, that every believer does have a measure of faith. Every believer does. And so as believers, I mean, if we didn't have a faith, we wouldn't be believers. But that measure of faith that we have, we can learn and develop that faith that we have. And we found faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, but we develop it. So we learned that faith, you know, the fact that faith can grow, but it's up to us whether it grows. That's up to us to develop our faith. We must do that. Now, surely God's involved in it, but you know, I've heard people say over time, like, things like, well, if God wants you to have faith, you'll have it. And if, you know, some people just have more faith than others because God gives them more faith. There's nothing more ludicrous said. God doesn't give anybody, you know, considering some one person is allowed, you know, I'm going to give you more faith than the other guy, I'm not. It doesn't work like that. It's totally unscriptural. I don't know where anybody would ever develop something like that, because there's nothing in the Bible that teaches anything like that. We found out, too, that faith is of the heart and not of the mind, or it's of the human spirit. The heart of man is where faith is. It's not in our mind, it's in our heart. And so we discussed that. We talked about with faith, as one of the important things about faith really is learning for your faith to work, is understanding our position of righteousness. Is hugely important. If we're going to operate and walk in the areas of faith, trust God, we have to know our position of righteousness, that God has made us through faith in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous. And hallelujah, the Bible says we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't get any better than that. There's not another righteousness that you would ever need. We found out, too, is for faith to work. For Mark, the 16th chapter, Jesus spoke and said about to forgive. One of the things he said is forgiveness. He talked about faith in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. In verse 25, he talked about forgiving. So if we want our prayers to be answered, we need to be a people who forgive. And also, we talked in that series, that part of the teaching in our series, we talked about having a good report. Keep a good report. Always keep yourself. We talked about the children of Israel who didn't have a good report. What happened to them? But Joshua and Caleb did good. They had a good report and kept it. And they were blessed. And keep a good report. If God tells us something or says, you know, like with the children of Israel, he said, I give you the land. Well, then he gives you the land. So when you go over there and take a look at the land, no matter what things look like, praise God, the land's yours. God gave it to you. Faith must be released. Then we talked about by saying. Faith has to be released by saying, and we talked about what it is to say. Faith can't be, you know, we want to act in faith. That's a great part, too, is acting in faith. But faith is released by saying. What we believe in our heart, we say with our mouth. And that activates things. Our actions of faith merely are our actions. We begin, and it's, which is really good, we begin to act like what we believe and say is true. It's really, it's all of those parts that we put together. But it is a powerful thing when Christians begin to speak what's in their heart, that God's put into their hearts. If we want to bring the things of God to pass, we got to speak them out. We believe them, get it into us, what God has said, and then begin to speak those things. And that's one of the things we talked about. That's the release of our faith. And really, that is the release of the power of God. You know, when Smith Wigglesworth made the statement and said about, you know, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. Well, he just gets in line with the Word and begins to act and speak in line with the Word. And the power of God will begin to move. And that's what we do, set things in motion through what we say. Then we taught, our last two sessions, we talked about receiving finances by saying, how to do that, using saying to receive finances. Jesus taught Kenneth Hagin that principle specifically. He put it to work and found it worked. And I copied it, and it worked. So it did work out. You know, lots of times the people, you have something you wanted to, no, okay, I just thought you had something you wanted to say. But anyhow, you know, found out that this thing works, and, you know, that this, by saying it, over the years, put that into practice, and seen it work, and so, praise God. So we want to continue to practice those things. So we want to walk in the areas of faith. You know, Kenneth Hagin talked about using the facts of faith, the things about faith, the facts, these facts. He said, if you continue to use these facts that have been taught in this series, like we're looking at here, he says, your faith will continue to work and grow. So there's things we work at it. Nobody ever you don't start off the top of this thing. It's a thing you work at. And Kenneth Hagin was asked, as Randall Greer talked about, he said, we were sitting in a room. I've heard Brother Hagin answer the question, but he talked about, he said, we were sitting in a room, and he said there was some of us ministers were having dinner with Kenneth Hagin. And he said, someone at the table asked, he says, Brother Hagin, do you ever get to the place that you don't have to use your faith? Like, do you ever arrive at a place you don't have to use that? And he said, everybody stopped eating and wanted to listen, wanted to hear what he had to say. And he said, well, if there is, I sure don't know nothing about it. He says, as long as you're in this earth, you're going to have to use your faith. And so we know this, if I have to use my faith, then faith is not something we develop to a point and then, like, you know, it's like you just walk away from it and you don't have to maintain it. But you have to maintain your faith. It's like I always say this, is the word believe in the New Testament is a continuous action verb. So it's continue to believe it. I wouldn't have to continue to believe if you could just do it once and done. So it's a continuation. So we're always maintaining our faith and developing it. Thank God. You know, one of the most wonderful things about it is when we get the new body, we're not going to have that opposition concerning faith of dealing with the flesh and the temptations of the flesh, the temptation of the devil. You won't have none of that. You won't have those oppositions about faith. My words. No wonder heaven's such a wonderful place. Fine, getting in the new body's like going to be going to heaven. Just you don't have that. It's really, we're dealing with all these things of opposition to our faith. So our faith is always really is we're in a faith fight. That's what we're in. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. And really, the fight of faith is the fact is you're dealing with opposition. We have an enemy, the devil, but we also have our flesh. We also have things around us that are, in operation of people and things and stuff that are not walking with God. All these things that try to lure us off. And so it's a constant, there's a constant fight of faith, but the Bible says it's a good fight. So we get over why it's a good fight is, number one, if you're in faith, you're going to win. Can't get a better fight than that. I don't know about you, I like to win. So we get in that win side, yeah. Stay in the win. What we want to look at tonight, because of dealing in the subject of mountain-moving faith, we do want to talk about using our faith for others. Because we want to talk about clarifying that, because people really do get in the area of confusion in this area. And we want to talk about specifically, because this is really important, about using our faith. And there is more than one prayer, and there's different types of prayer that the Bible talks about. And the prayer of faith is one type of prayer that we pray. We're specifically talking about this area of faith, the prayer of faith. And I'm going to go back over to Mark 11:23, because we want to talk specifically here because of what the prayer of faith, we need to understand, and this is why we're dealing with the prayer of faith, is praying the prayer of faith. Many times people try to do it for other people. Things don't work. Sometimes things work, they don't. And one of the things, if you don't understand it, I think this is why people get sort of the hit and miss type of prayer. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. And what they don't realize is their ignorance on the subject. Sometimes things work because they don't know why they worked. And they did. But you need to know this, because when we're going to pray or we're going to do something, we want to know if what we're going to do is going to work or not going to work. I mean, you don't want to go on another path. But just looking here at what Jesus said, he said, for surely I say to you, and I want to start by, he said, I say to you. Now, he's talking to them as, he said, I say to you. He's not talking to them as a group, yet he's talking to a group, okay? But he's not talking to them like, you whole group together, this will work. He's saying to them, you, as individuals, each one of you. And you need to read it as that. When we're reading this, he said, He said, whoever. So he clarifies here, whoever. So he's talking to each one as an individual and not each one together combined as a group. He's talking to them as each, because he says, whoever. Now, out of the group, maybe not everybody's going to do this. So whoever out of the group does this. So dealing from an individual standpoint, he says this mountain, be removed and be cast to the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. He will, as an individual. He will. That person can bring those things to pass. It's just like with the children of Israel, with going into the spies, going into the land of Canaan, and being back a bad report. The people always all bought the bad report. And Caleb said, hey, no, you guys, come on, we can take these people. Let's go in. We're going to eat their lunch. Let's go do this. Well, they didn't believe it. He's turning around speaking. This individual speaking faith, he believed what God said. When God said, I give you the land, he believed it belonged to him. He thought it was his land. And so, now, he believed that, but as an individual. But it didn't benefit anybody else. Doesn't matter if his faith. His faith did not benefit. It only benefited one other person. Now just think, the benefit toward one other person was the fact of Joshua, because he believed the same thing. But it didn't benefit the other people at all. Their faith did not benefit anybody else. Their faith could have been a benefit to others if others would have agreed with them. But since others didn't agree with them, even though they knew how to operate in faith, they could not bring it to pass for the others. They couldn't do it. They couldn't bring it past for them when they're moving in a different direction. And that's something that we need to understand. Because he went on about praying. In verse 24, when Jesus said, therefore, he said, again, I say to you, whatever thing you as an individual ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So whatever you ask in prayer, you, as an individual, are supposed to believe that you receive them and you will have that thing that you believe. We need to understand this. Whenever we're praying the prayer of faith, and understand prayer of faith, the prayer of faith is believing you receive something. That's what it is. It's believing you receive it at the time you pray. So it is tied to the will of the individual praying, and it's tied to the individual what they ask for. When you're dealing with somebody else, their will is involved. It doesn't matter how much you know what God said. Doesn't matter how much you believe what God said. Their will is involved. And when their will is involved, you cannot override and receive for them. You can receive for you, but you can't receive for them. You can't do that. Unless they would do the things of, and we'd be dealing with, you know, the prayer of agreement, and we'll talk a little bit about that. There's the prayer of agreement. But whatever you want, when you pray, you're to believe you receive it. So it doesn't say whatever you want for someone else, you believe you receive it for them. You can't do that. You can't, that you can't do. You can't believe you receive it. Now, I'm talking from the general, specifically here, because we're going to find that there's some things that God will allow us to do concerning baby Christians or something like that. But we need to understand, one of the biggest fallacies is in dealing with the areas of faith, because people will just sort of take it and throw things out there. When Jesus sent his disciples out, you know, one of the biggest things is why we see so much in the areas of hit and miss things on the areas of stuff, because people will have the idea that we just go, well, I'm praying for an individual, I'm just going to pray for them to be healed. A person may never even talk to the individual to find out what they believe or where they're going or whether they even want to heal. And they'll just head in a direction and just start praying. And we need to understand this. A person who wants to be healed does not mean they have any faith at all to be healed. It doesn't mean that they have any faith whatsoever. Wanting something or desiring something does not mean you have faith. Yeah, there's a lot of people want a lot of things in this earth. You know, there's loads of people want all kinds of stuff out here, you know. They want things, but that doesn't mean that you have faith for them just because you want them. And see, lots of times when people will come along, and we need to get over in this area to start to understand this. When people ask us to pray for them, we need to start getting specific with people and asking them some questions about what they want prayer for. We need to understand that. We just, you know, this bit of the church world, you know, it's somebody, well, yeah, pray for me. Somebody will just pray and things, something will happen, some things won't happen, and, you know, and people just have no clue about what's going on or what's happening out here. And it's because people don't ask specific questions to an individual. Just pray for me, you know. Yeah, I'm like, you know, pray for me. Is, well, what do you want me to pray for? I've been sick. I want you to pray for me. And what are you praying for? Well, I want God to heal me. Well, that's really nice. You want God to heal me. Say, I like somebody to give me $100 million. Does that mean I'm going to give just because I say I want it? When people say that, when you talk about God, see, they have no specific view. You're turning around, they're asking you to pray. What they just asked you is to agree with them in something. And people never stop and ask them, well, do you believe God wants you well? Nobody will stop and say anything to anybody. This is why we have so much hit and miss stuff with people, is because we don't say anything. In Mark the 16th chapter, I want you to read what Jesus did when he sent out his disciples. I want to see this. This is Jesus, right, his departure. He's going to be leaving, heading out to heaven. He's going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he turns around, he sends out his disciples in verse 15. He says, and he said to them, just go out and ask people what they'd like to have. is that what he said to do? No. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, number one, a person ain't going to have faith for healing. They're not going to have faith for anything in finances until the gospel of finances, or the gospel of healing. Nobody gets born again until the gospel of salvation is preached to them. You see, you know, it'd be like a prayer. You know, if somebody said to you, hey, I want to pray for you. I want to get to heaven. Would you just, well, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Well, they need the gospel of salvation preached to them. And we need to understand this. When people ask for something, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Thank God he talked about things and taught stuff about people asking in the areas of prayer. And he talked about people sometimes asking prayer about healing and stuff. And he said, I never prayed for their healing. He said, because he said that wasn't what their problem was. He said they had no faith for the areas of healing. They didn't. And so he said he prayed for what they really needed. He said if they'd get what they needed, they could get in faith for healing. But the church usually doesn't. That's why things don't work, because we just sort of generically have this generic idea about faith. But he said to go all in the, he said, you go in the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? The gospel. The person who believes the gospel, that individual would be saved. So, in other words, and he goes on, but he talks about the believers, these believers, in other words, preaching the people the gospel, then there's signs that follow them. Well, they have authority over demons. They lay hands on the sick and they recover. These things follow the gospel. These things don't follow prayer. They don't follow prayer. They follow the gospel. And so we need to understand. That's why prayer is good, but prayer without moving people over into the area of giving them the word, prayer is just a religious exercise. You might as well do what the Buddhist does and have all those round things that you walk past and spin, and because that's what church's been doing. Now they'll tell you the Buddhist is worshiping a false god, but in many ways the church worships false god. Whether they realize their prayer's no different than that. It's not from a scriptural standpoint. So we need to understand the importance in these areas of ministering to people. So when other people are involved in the area of praying, their will is involved. And so you can't push, no matter how much you want something for somebody else, you just can't push it over on them. You just can't do it. You just can't shove it onto them just because they want it. And so that's what a lot of people think. Well, the idea of just, well, you know, prayer. I don't know how the church got into the idea of just because we just pray. You know, we've never put really the importance on really the on prayer from the standpoint is prayer has has laws and rules. The prayer of faith has laws and rules. Jesus told them. The prayer of faith, you have to believe you receive at the time that you pray. That's what he said. That's what you got to do. When you're asking for something, you got to believe you receive it. He gave it, he told it, he set the rules down for making the mountain move. You got to believe that in your heart, say it with your mouth. You can't have any doubt. There's rules. But yet, most of Christianity has no rules in their prayer. They just think you just because you said something to God that somehow that became a prayer. Prayer has rules. I mean, just because I did something or said something to God, that don't make it a prayer. That don't make it that God's moving or do a thing about it. And we have to get over the ideas of God laid down. And the whole thing, I'm really glad prayer has rules because then I know how to hook up with it. And there's one thing as I learned with God's kingdom. If you follow the rules that he has set out, works every time. No one way. When I heard Kenneth Hagin say it, I almost fell over. He said, he talked about in how many years, you know, that he learned in the areas of faith. He said, I've never prayed concerning anything that had to do with me specifically. And then when he said at the time, he was like, you know, 50-some years and is a Christian. And he said, and I've never one time that I didn't get my prayer answered for me personally. Not one time. I thought, my God, that's a wonderful record. But you know what? It will. It'll work for you every time. But you can't make it work. There's things you can, if you can get people to join up with you, and some different things that I've learned over time that you can do. There's some things that the Lord showed me and taught me over time. There's things I heard Brother Hagin talk about that helped me in these areas. But getting into the areas of agreement. Now, we need to understand this. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, in verse 19, we have here, it's the prayer of what we call the prayer of agreement. Now, we need to understand about this area, dealing with the prayer of agreement, is, well, the prayer of agreement says, Jesus said in verse 19, again, he said, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that that they ask, it will be done of them of my Father in heaven. Now, I want you to understand this is the fact that if you could just use the Mark 11:24 and you could ask for somebody else and get it, then there would never be a need for the prayer of agreement. Would never have to be a need for it. Why would Jesus have a prayer of agreement when there's no need for it? Because then any individual could turn around and just ask for somebody else and get it done. You can't. He makes here, when people being in agreement, people must be in agreement. People got to get into some kind of agreement. And Amos, in the book of Amos, in the Old Testament, in 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? Well, they can't. You know, we got a whole big mess in our nation, and people can't walk in agreement. And one of the reasons they can't walk, the more we've moved away from God, the less chance we have of getting in agreement on things. The less chance. So you're not going to get someone else healed when you're believing they will live and they're believing they're going to die. You know, if people can't get hooked. Now, there's things that I've learned over time. I can pray to try to help that individual, and I can pray to ask God to move for that individual. But we need to understand lots of times what we're doing in praying for individuals is trying to get them over in the area where they'll start to respond to God in an area of faith. We want them to do that. I've used before an example. It's like when I was a young Christian. In fact, I was only, I don't know if I was born again, probably more, maybe. Oh, I don't know. Probably wasn't even 2 years. But I'd learned enough in the areas of prayer, dealing with things. And I'll never forget a woman who was with the Aglow in Hershey. I was just a young Christian, a group of people we met together. And she was all concerned because she didn't understand. Now, here's a woman. She's in this prayer. Oh, you know, we're praying and that stuff. But they had the idea that if they prayed for something and they used their faith, they could just make things happen with other people. And so there was one of the ladies in their group turned around and came down with cancer, and she died. And I'll never forget, we were together. She made this statement. She said, I just don't understand. She said, we were praying for her to be healed, and she died. I don't understand it. And I just stopped and asked and said, let me ask you this. What did she want? And the lady right out said to me, well, she wanted to die. I said, well, her faith trumped you guys. I don't care. You can't get 47 people together and she's believing to leave and you're 47 are just going to, we're going to ram it down her throat. This is what Christians believe. This is what Christians believe constantly. If we get a gang, we can make it happen. Stupidity. Nobody, no place in Scripture gives you the idea that just because you get a bunch of Christians together, if we could do that, we get a gang together and make everybody in the world get saved. And everybody would go to heaven. It ain't happening. You can't, just because she was heading in a direction by her will. God will not allow you to override the will of other people. Because if he does, then he can let people override your will and send you to hell. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go to that place where, you know, dealing with people's will. And this is sort of what they were doing. They one thought the idea that our will was for her to live. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry. I said, she got what she wanted. That was her faith. In fact, what they didn't realize, they had never once prayed in faith. Never one time. Now, they believe they did. But they never prayed in faith because the prayer of agreement requires two or more people to be in line together like the prayer of faith. Then you could believe you receive. But they didn't. They weren't in line together. They weren't. And they had the idea that if the rest of the group prayed, she would just live anyhow in spite of. And I often wondered, how much wonder they ever got done really in prayer. They probably met together and, you know, they had these people, but they were praying, but really, what were they doing? The best thing they could probably ever did got more done if they prayed pretty much in tongues. Then their brains wouldn't have been involved in it. I'm serious. That's one thing is I like about it. There's things if I don't know a bunch of what's going on, I don't even talk to the Lord about it much in English. I'll just, Lord, you know what's going on in here. You know the hearts of people and what needs to be done. Holy Ghost, I'm just yielding to you. We're going to pray in tongues. Keep my mind out of it. And sometimes when I get over doing that, now not all the time, but sometimes when I get into that area, then the Holy Spirit will give me a revelation on some things sometimes of what's going on. But until that happens, sometimes he doesn't. I'll just pray in tongues about it, you know. Just pray in tongues. Why? We get our mind out of the thing. The Holy Spirit knows concerning the individual. That's one of the great blessings of praying in tongues. My words, we can pray out the purpose and the will of God outside of our own human knowledge and things and about people around us. You know, I don't care how well you think you know a person. I don't care even the husbands, wives, how well we think we might know each other. But there's things about each other that you don't know. There's things that that might be going on between them and God and whatever else. And you know, the best thing you do is pray in tongues for them because you don't know everything. That's the wondrous, glorious things about praying in tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And you can get over, but you know what? Here's one thing about praying in tongues. Now, here's an area talking about doing things by faith. There's many times that people pray in tongues and they don't pray by faith. They don't believe it's working at all. They're just out making noise. And if you ask them about it, they sort of talk about it. And I've been around people sort of talk about it in unbelief, you know. I believe when I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit's praying through me. There's plenty of people who go praying in tongues and then wonder if God's praying through. You know, they're really not acting in faith. You know, I'll just say, Holy Ghost, I'm just going to yield to you in this thing, and I'm going to let you pray this thing, the will of God, out through me. Hallelujah. So God's will and purpose can be done here. And I start praying in tongues. And when I do it, I believe God is the Holy Ghost is praying through my voice to the Father. Hallelujah. And bringing to pass the will of God. Glory to God. You say, well, what did you say? Ain't got a clue. But I believe because Scripture tells me I can do it. So therefore, I believe it's so. I believe it works that way. And it's just setting yourself in that direction is a great place. And that's how you use your faith in that area. Now, I'm not trying to use my faith to believe I receive anything because I don't know what it is I'm praying out. But I'm acting in faith in what I do know in it that I am doing. So you always want to act in the faith of the area that you do know in what you're doing. You act in faith in that area. So praise God. So when you're praying the prayer of agreement with someone, you need to make sure that the two of you are both believing the same thing. Make sure that you're both believing the same thing. Most people think that you're believing the same thing because the person, say, wants healing or wants finances or wants a relationship fixed, and believe you're praying the same thing, but without ever asking. Well, when we pray this, you going to believe you receive that? Well, if God wills, you know, if God, you know, they don't ask. So nobody ever, you don't ever know if there is true agreement. Say, you know, especially the prayer of faith, believe and receive. Somebody says healing. Stop and ask me, excuse me, do you believe that when we pray this prayer that you're going to receive you're going to believe you receive your healing? You don't believe you receive it. Now, sometimes people respond to you just because you said it. You know, you say, well, do you know where that's at in Scripture? You find out they got a clue. People sometimes will just come along and say things to you just, you know, rather than admit their stupidity. And don't realize that's the greatest stupidity of all, is to act like you know what you don't. Because that opens the door greater for the devil, because now you've done something even worse than, you know. It's like, you know, if you don't know, don't be afraid to say you don't know. But it's getting a personal agreement. So the prayer of agreement is a prayer of faith. You must believe you receive at the time that you pray. So that's the prayer of agreement. That prayer of agreement, we're to agree, says that those people could get anything they ask. Jesus said, I'm in the midst of that. So that prayer of agreement, but both people be in agreement. So you could not be in agreement unless you talked about it. That's an impossibility to be in agreement any other way. And most times when people want a prayer of agreement, they never discuss a thing. And that's why so much stuff, prayers don't work. That's one of the things in those areas don't work. And so you always want to make sure. So always ask a person that wanted your agreement, whatever it is they want, what do they want? What are they believing is going to happen when you pray? Always ask them. You want me to do something here? What do you believe in? Just pray for me. Just pray. And there's some people that I know. It's just like with our neighbor I know from the church that she goes to concerning her healing. We gave her opportunity. I'd talked to her, you know, one time before, and this is before any of this happened with cancer. She made mention about some things, and I talked to her, gave her a little discussion about faith, and found out that she didn't know nothing, and she didn't really want to listen to what I had to say. I knew she didn't. And tried to get her to come over on Tuesday mornings to listen to some teaching, and she had no interest in it. And so I'm not going to sit down and try to force. I've been wasting my breath. And so from the standpoint, I can't pray for her the prayer of agreement, because, you know, she wants you. Well, pray for me. And what she means is, you know, just ask God and we hope something happens. And he gets us through this thing. But I can't pray in the direction she wants me to pray for her. And she made mention to me here the other day. She said she believed that God was doing this to try to get her husband to get saved. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if it is, it ain't working, because he talked to me and he ain't happy with her about this idea of God. She doesn't realize with her stupid talking, she might lead him over into the area he'll hate God. And that's a lot of Christians do that. That's what they did to me, to where I ran around and I hated God. I didn't want to have nothing to do with God because of Christians talking stupid. And so heading in a direction there. So we don't want to go in those directions. You stay away from. You don't go to other people to, you know, really to ask them if they want you to agree with them. You know, some people are sort of like trying to push off on. So somebody comes to you and wants to join in an agreement with you on something, that's fine. But sometimes people feel the need to try to force other people over into, and you can't really do that. You have to find out where people are standing at in their faith. Because what it does is it just gets you over in the areas where you're trying to push your will and your things over into somebody else. And it, just because somebody wants healing, that doesn't mean they can believe for it. We need to get a hold of that and understand those things, that we can't force it on people. Now, We can, there's ones that we can, you know, sometimes carry. We need to know this. She says you can, I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching about, talked about carrying a person who is a genuine baby Christian. Now, when we talk about baby Christians, we are not talking about the age of people. It has nothing to do with a person's physical age. A person can be a Christian for 40 years, 70 years old, and a baby, spiritually. Now I'm talking about a genuine. When I'm talking about a genuine baby, I'm talking about a person who has just gotten born again. That's a true baby Christian. Somebody just like in natural life, somebody who has never matured and they're 80 years old and they still act like a big baby, whether they're saying that they aren't. We don't say that's a baby over there. You know, they're only just a baby. We changed their diaper and we're going. Well, today we try to. You know, we have a society that tries to take care of everybody, and people make messes and of everything. But we're talking about the areas with a baby Christian. I've always found in this area somebody who has newly gotten in the areas of born again, or sometime with people dealing who have newly gotten into the area of really understanding the things of the Spirit, where people, they aren't babies because they wanted to be. They were in churches or things and stuff like that. We've had over time, you know, this is one thing I found out, this is something that doesn't work for people. Over the years, I've watched this. In fact, we had back in, was it about a year or so ago, some individuals, a family came into our church. And he had a health problem. And God used my faith. It wasn't his faith. He used my faith to get him healed. And I talked to him about some things, gave him some materials and stuff, told him what he needed to start to learn and do. Well, he went off and just went off on his thing, and he went off and back over to his dead stuff again and all that kind of stuff. And now he's in as much of a mess as he was before and all kind of things with his family. There's one thing is you can't do that kind of stuff. People need to know. You can use your faith for people. You can't continually use your faith. People have to respond to do some things. You know, I'll give anybody at first, I'll give them an opportunity, but I won't chase after them and I won't try to keep things going. They're going to have to want to do it. The individual had showed up at a meeting after a long period of time and showed up at our church in another meeting and was asked by the minister there, you know, because they came in, you know, they want healing. They want some healing because they need it in their family. Their whole family's a mess. It's got devil's been running. But they want to head in their direction and just over here. And then when I get these other people, we'll just come over here and they'll take care of this for me. So I'll just keep going in my same direction. Well, it don't work for them. And basically that's what was told to them. And they left and never came back. So, but see, you can only carry people to a point. You can do some things. See, God wanted to do some things to witness to those individuals. But there are a lot of people who are baby Christians who shouldn't be babies. They're not a legitimate baby. They're a baby because of sometimes what they've chose to do. They've chose not to develop. They chose not to be responsible. So physical growth and spiritual growth are in a sense similar. Natural babies aren't born fully mature. So they have to develop. And it's just like we do. Don't we do look how much we do for a natural child when they're born and, you know, going and starting off, all the things we do for them. Well, as they go along, we do less for them as an individual. We do less to carry them along and more we expect them to do. Well, spiritually, God is exactly the same way. There's a lot of things God will do. You guys have heard me say, when I go, after I've been born again for about 5 or 6 years of looking back over the thing, and I started, you know, I was getting along and understanding faith and that pretty good. And I looked back over and I thought, oh my words. You know, those things, I operated best I could. I thought about faith, but boy, I sure was. But God did all kinds of things because I just operated as best I could. But he carried me in a lot of stuff. And there's things that he's told me years later. He said about, you know, he spoke to me one time about a certain things. And he said, you can't operate over in that area anymore. He said, that ain't going to work for you. He said, you know what to do and you best get doing it. You can't go back over to that. You're not going to get away with it. I said, yes, sir. And we need to know that what we're dealing with. One of the things that people need to do is there's no such thing as of operating in the Word of God without the Spirit of God. See, people become operating in the Bible more like, I would say, like from rote. They look at the Bible and it's, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, but they don't ever listen to the Holy Ghost. Well, there's things, you know, I can know what the Bible says, but not really know where a person's walking spiritually. You can only know that by the Holy Ghost. Enlisting the Spirit of what to do concerning individuals or what not to do concerning individuals, because you can surely get over where you would waste your time in areas. And We need to listen to the Holy Ghost about things. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit may be prompting us in a certain area. Somebody talks about prayer, what they want to pray for. Holy Spirit could be prompting us to do something else about that. But if we don't watch ourselves, we'll say, well, you just go with what you heard. And that's, you know, just right down through and really not following the Holy Spirit. I've learned over time, you know, getting in praying about certain things and over the years. And sometimes you get over and praying about certain stuff. And I just know inside of me, I ain't hooking up. I know it's not. I know this thing ain't. And it ain't a matter, I don't care how I can try to act like I'm in faith. I know inside of me, my heart's not hooked at this thing. My heart's in something else. And until I stop and find out what that is, what the Holy Spirit's trying to witness to my spirit about this, you just keep going on down that same road. And you're not doing a thing, and you can tell people all you want. I could tell people all I want. I was praying. I wasn't praying about nothing. I was just mouthing and doing stuff. I was just going through things. That's all I was doing. So we have to watch in that area that we are going to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to understand this, especially with spiritual babies. The 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, in other words, we do want to get babies to get over and get hooked up in the word. We don't want to keep carrying. There's some people that I see doing this. I see this in so-called, quote, Christian counseling. They love carrying other people. They love to be sort of control, you know, and people have to count on me. I mean, that's the last thing I want is people have to rely on me. You want people to be able to build their own faith. And so you want the baby to develop and learn how to do things on their own, just as you would a natural child would, and not take care of anything. You know, we in a society today, one of the biggest things we do is they have the generation they call the millennials. The millennials have been trained to be babies all their life. That's what they've been trained. Never have to be responsible for anything, you know. Don't have to ever be out on their own and take care of themselves. They're always somebody taking care of them, always somebody looking at them. That's millennials. You know, they're the ones that turn around and you go out and you play a sport and you're the lousiest person on the team, but you get a trophy just like the guy who was the best. And you get all this stuff and everybody's patting on the back saying you're wonderful when you're not. Telling you did a good job when you never did a good job. There's no point to growing or developing because you're treated as you're wonderful when you're not wonderful. And so it's a real problem. So we want people to develop. Now in Ephesians 4:14 makes this statement about considering spiritual growth and spiritual development. It says that we should be no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Boy, we're in that in the church world today. Because people haven't grown up. Many ministers, they're carried by every wind of doctrine. They're tossed to and fro. We have many, some of the largest churches in America, baby Christians sitting in as pastors of churches. They've been carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're not mature Christians. They have all kinds of things that they've accepted that the Bible don't accept. And they call it, well, we do it, we love. And they think that, oh, we're spiritual. No, we're love. We're love. Yeah, this is love. And the Bible don't call it love. It calls it sin. And they call it love. And so they're not dealing with it. So being a spiritual baby has nothing to do with one's physical age. If you're 50 years old when you got born again, you're still a spiritual baby. You know, I was 30 years old when I got born again, but I was a spiritual baby when I got born again. I was a spiritual baby. Now, some people, even as a, you know, there are things that an individual may know. There's one thing that I see this in people, especially... there was things of, because being taught right as a young boy in the areas of moral conduct and things like that. When I got born again, there's things that I knew were right about certain things with that, which were helpful to me. There were some things in the areas of getting born again, because there are things that I understood, because I was always interested in spiritual things. I really didn't. That's one of the reasons I got involved over in sorcery and things. I always believed in a spirit realm, and it was a spirit realm that affect things. And understanding that was very helpful to me, I think had a lot to do with my development of developing quickly, because I understood. I mean, I run into Christians, people been born again 40, 50, 60 years, and they know nothing about the spirit realm. They don't know a thing about it. They don't know nothing about it. They don't understand. So it's very hard for them to develop and grow. It's very difficult, because it's very much Christianity is basically all these rules of don't touch, don't taste, don't do this, don't do that, you know, and everything. And they're very nice people from that. They don't do ugly things, but they don't know things. They don't know anything really about the spirit realm. They can't do much of anything about changing anything. Everything, you know, is to them as well. If God wants it done, it'll be done. And that's the place they operate in. That's where they're at. And, you know, I'm not saying they're bad people, but they are ignorant. And basically, they're spiritual babies. They're spiritual babies. You may be able to do something for an individual once or twice to get something done for them to try to bear witness. But if they don't make change, it'll just go back. It's just like the person I was talking about before. They don't want to make a change. And I tell you, God ain't going to just sit around with them until they decide they want something. And maybe somebody could help them, but they're going to have to make change. So that's an important thing. You can have an individual who is young, really in age, but can be more developed spiritually. It's like when Elena was 11 years old, and the Lord told me that when she fell and hit her elbow in gym, and he put her in a sling and said, you know, we were supposed to either, you know, take her in the hospital and stuff. And I asked her about if she wanted to go to the hospital or want to get healed. I said, what do you want to do? Which one do you want to do? You know? And the Lord spoke to me and said, now you can't just pray for her and her get healed. He said, she knows how to do this. She knows how to believe me. He said, now you can agree with her. And so you sat down. When I sat down with her and talked to her about what she was believing, the scripture she was going to stand on, and I told her what the Lord said. I said, the Lord said, I can agree with you in prayer, but I said, where are you standing for? What are you going to do? You're going to go to the hospital? You're going to stay? What are you going to do? I'll agree with whatever you want to do. And so she told me she wanted to be healed. She said the scriptures, and she said the scripture she was going to stand on, and we were going to pray and believe she healed. So I sat and agreed with her. She prayed it. I agreed with her, and she got healed. So really, at 11 years old, in the areas of healing, she knew more than probably most people I knew in her 50s and 60s and had been born again for so many years. She was more spiritually mature in that area. The Lord could have never demanded that of those people, because they could have never done it. But we need to understand this about it. This is why why people stay messed up, is because parents try to be God for too long. And it does nothing but destroy things. They don't do anything but destroy things. That's why you listen to God. Parents many times want to play God. They don't want their kids to grow up and trust God. They want the kids always on, well, I'll take care of it. You know, I'm going to be doing it. She's 11 years old. So I'm glad I can listen to the Holy Ghost. He spoke to me and said to me, you know, you don't need to pray. You're not going to pray for her and get this done. She can do it. Most people would have said that was a devil talking, and we're sure going, oh, I'm going to do this. My God, this is my child and God. I tell you what, I love them, and wow, and I'm, and just, and you know what? Keep them from ever growing up spiritually. Teach them to stand in things. Our kids learn young about standing things, bringing things to pass, believing God for stuff. Hallelujah! They really believe in God for some stuff and that stuff. All that Barbie stuff. Oh my God! Miss Elena wanted this Barbie stuff. And, you know, at that time, you know, we were learning about the areas of faith and money, you know, and we were starting to get a hold of this somewhat, and they wanted all this Barbie stuff, and I don't know, you know, this stuff gets expensive and all those things. And they wanted like the Barbie house and the Barbie cars and the Barbie this. And, I tell you, and all these Barbies and all this clothes, and we were just like, whoa, that's a lot of money. But we said to them, I just said to them, how old were they maybe at the time? Well, this probably wasn't no. Maybe 5, 6, 7 years old. Yeah, we're on Canal Street. But anyhow, so I got talked to him. I said, okay, well, we'll agree. The things that you want, we're going to agree with together that you'll get those things. Okay, we're going to agree. And you're going to believe God. Okay. They said, okay, little kids. Yeah, okay, we're going to do that. So we got together and agreed. And I told it wasn't even really, I had to tell you, it was quite astounding. It wasn't any long period of time. It was maybe a couple of months. Way beyond what we asked for showed up. I mean, they had this stuff show up, Barbie stuff. There must have been 1,000 outfits and how many Barbies and the house and the car and all the stuff. I mean, all the extras and amenities and all this stuff showed up. Boxes of it showed up. See, don't hamper. That's, I really think that's where people turn around and they hamper. They hamper their children's development. They hamper them, keep them from developing spiritually, and make them. And then what they do is they grow up to be cripples in life. Can't maintain themselves. Can't take care of themselves. Can't do it. And that's why you want to do it. I'll tell you, you know, God, you know, kids can believe God. They know how to do it. Sometimes better than parents do. So sometimes you could also use your faith to help someone who may be a Christian for a long time and has, and it's like I said before, not been trained or taught in the right way. There's numbers of times that God has used me in that area to help an individual who seriously didn't know. They weren't trying to be ignorant. There's one thing, you know, there's levels of ignorance. Some people are ignorant because they want to be. I've been around ones where the Lord has told me straight about an individual, not to help them because they don't have any desire to want to develop or learn. And he won't, you know, God will go, so it's amazing what he'll do for them. Sometimes he's been merciful to them for years and has done wonderful things for people. But there'll be a time when it comes when he'll stop. He won't do it for them. He'll demand of them. And, you know, well, hey, wouldn't it be natural just for a natural child that you'd come to the place, you know? Hey, 15, I ain't tying your shoes. You know, just let's get real. You just had to buy Velcro sneakers. That's all there is to it. Yeah. 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 So a lot of these types of people, lots of times that they'll get healed, especially when you go to Benny Hinn meetings, you'll get people get healed in those kinds of meetings. They don't know about those things. They did. I mean, Oral Roberts talked about the fact of how it happened in his ministry. The people who hadn't been taught or went to churches that knew about healing, they would go to his meetings. It was amazing how the large percentage of those people got healed and stayed healed. Yet on the same side, the people who came out of the churches of the Spirit-filled who had been taught about healing, the ones who came forward to be healed, a smaller percentage of them were healed, and even a smaller percentage stayed healed. Because why? They were taught things. They were expected to walk in what they knew. You know what people, you know, I would imagine a lot of those at that time weren't even taught, you know, really as how I've been taught, it was taught by Kenneth Hagin about healing. But they have to walk in the level that they had. God expects that out of us, at least to walk in the level that we have. You know, he's always done that, expected me to walk in the level that I was at. And people need to learn to do that. Just walk in the level that we're at. Hook up in that place. And this is why it's talking to people. It is so important to talk to individuals and that stuff. When we come around dealing in the areas of faith, as people want agreement and want prayer, is talk to them and find out about where people are at and where they are in these things. So, now, it's one of the things sometimes, and especially using in the areas, dealing with the areas of unsaved. Now, I know there's this, I often did wonder, I've only ever really operated in the areas of this, listening to what the Spirit would tell me to do. But it was always quite interesting when it would come over to the areas of family and relatives and stuff. And especially, I was always amazed concerning Wanda's side of the family, of her side of the family, of how many times God used me and would have me pray for them specifically in an area of praying. You know, it's like with her Uncle Ivan. Now, Ivan was a Christian, but we fell, you know, on a tractor and he hit his head and they said he was... You know, he had a blood clot in his brain, and it was going to, you know, they said if they had to operate, but he would probably not be completely right after the operation and things. And, you know, I had prayed for Ivan somewhat, but at that time I hadn't even prayed, you know, I hadn't spent a huge amount of time in prayer about that. But the Lord, the night that the Lord spoke to me to go pray about this thing with Ivan, and I did, and the gift of faith came on me, and he was healed. But also with her dealing with her grandfather, she had two cousins that were both pregnant, and the doctors, both of them at the same time, they were pregnant. And the doctor said they were going to lose the baby. They wouldn't carry him full term. They were going to lose him. And it was, I'll never forget, it was on a Saturday. It was a beautiful Saturday. And I really thought, boy, it was a plan. I could get some stuff done. It was a beautiful day. And the Lord told me to go upstairs and pray. And I went upstairs to the bedroom, and I spent the entire, from morning till the late afternoon, praying. And finally, the Spirit, there was a third person in the same problem. Now, this person here was not in Wanda's family or my family. It was a couple who live up the street. We knew she was in the same situation. It was three people. We had the same time going on. Now, praying, the Lord told me, I came to a place and I just knew I had it concerning her cousins. I just knew that, you know, the Lord told me, don't worry, that's taken care of. But he said, that's not going to happen for her up the street. You're going to have to go up and talk to her. So I went up and I went in and talked to them, and they didn't, I guess they're Catholics and they were, as the Catholic background and stuff like that. But the Lord said to me, he said, you need to go up and talk to him, and they need to listen to you. And I went up, they didn't want to listen about it, so she lost the baby, and the other ones didn't. And dealing over the areas with family and relatives, there's things that sometimes you can bring to pass, but there's, again, you have to listen to the Spirit. You just can't, at your will, any time, bring it to pass and make things happen. You know, Kenneth Hagin's wife, who was, you know, going to die and that kind of stuff. But you know, the Lord had spoken to him concerning her on another occasion, had spoken to him about her, believing God. He said, the Lord said this, he said, you can't, and this is going over in the areas and the level. He couldn't just pray and get his wife healed. The Lord said to him, he said, no, he said, you pray. He said, you can't take, he said, your wife can't stand where you can't. So he said, she can't get divine healing. She's going to have to go to the doctor. So he said, you go find out where she can stand and you join her. See, the prayer of agreement, and this is where the thing of it is, if a person wants prayer agreement, you're going to you don't ever try to make the person believe what you can. If they're on a lower level, you got to go to their level. You can't, see, this is where people make mistakes. They're trying to get that person, you know, to believe for something they can believe for, but that person can't. You have to go on the level where the individual's at. You got to find out where they're at. And so here, Kenneth Hagin's wife, he wouldn't just let him override. He had to go into the level of her faith. So her faith was really going to control how this was going to go, what they were going to do. And so we need to understand that as in dealing. This is why we need to listen to the Spirit of God, why it's so important to talk to people, to sit down and discuss it. You know, unsaved people, and there's many times you can get things done for unsaved people, and that stuff is a witness, is God witnessing to them of His goodness and His mercy to them. And He wants to reveal those things. How many times, like you go, say, like in meetings, I know Christopher Lahman reading his things about meetings that he has, and either when he's in Africa and stuff, and gets these large, huge crowds and that stuff. But God heals people like crazy. Loads of people, people get healed, delivered, and loads of them aren't saved. They get healed, delivered, and many of them turn around and get saved. But that happens. God does that to reveal to them His goodness and mercy, and so they know that, hey, this God that this guy's preaching is the real God. He's really a God. He does this stuff. And so really that's where demonstrations. Now that guy, he's not doing it by his faith getting them healed. It is manifestations of the Holy Ghost that are taking place that's doing that. It's not his faith getting all those people healed. Benny Hinn don't get people healed all by his faith. He has a gift and calling, an evangelistic gift and calling, and those manifestations go with that calling that he has on him. He don't specifically believe for each person to get healed. If he could do that, then he could get everybody in the place healed. It don't happen. It's as the Spirit wills. So that's the operation and manifestations of the Spirit take place. Sometimes that happens, and it can happen through any Christian to get a person healed. There's people, the times that people have gotten healed had nothing to do with my faith. Didn't have a thing to do. It's a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, and they got healed. You have to learn to know that. And that's why I was learning the things of the Spirit, the church. If they don't learn these things, they get out here, and people are just trying to operate in what they call faith, prayer, and they're trying to make things to come to pass that requires the Holy Spirit to do it. And it's learning to understand the difference. It's part that we have to grow in our spiritual maturity. So, walking in those things, it's just I learned things over the years of doing things, you know, like I talked about, one of the neighbors that we had that he couldn't, you know, drive a car. He couldn't ride in a car any distance. I mean, you know, he had trouble going to work in the morning. You know, he just, you know, gets sick in a car. But, you know, using your faith. And he wanted to go to a meeting. And he wanted to go. And I realized this guy was really hungry for God and wanted to know things of God. And he was really hungry, and he wanted to go down. We were going to a Kenneth Copeland meeting, and they had a group had chartered a bus, and what they'd do is they'd drive you down to Philly and bring you back home and then drive down next morning and that stuff. And so he wanted to go along, and I told him, I said, I'll tell you what to do. And I said, but you're going to have to do it this way. I said, you go with me on the bus. He's going under my faith. He had to hang out with somebody else or do something else. Well, he's going to have to. And I told him, I said, you stay with me, sit with me on the bus. And I said, you're going to go down the back, and I said, you'll never get sick at all. I said, I'm just telling you, you ain't going to ever get sick. Now, it wasn't, his faith wasn't involved in that. Now, I knew I could do that for him at the position that he was in. You know, you're just going to get everybody and his brother, and if somebody knows something about faith, if a guy would have known more about faith and things like that, I could have agreed with him and we could have gone together. I never asked him for agreement on the thing because I wanted to show him, I knew this is going to be a wonderful opportunity to show him how faith works. And it did. And he learned great from that experience. He did. He really, God taught him a bunch. And after that, he didn't have trouble with that anymore. He got a hold of that thing and started using his faith concerning that. So he got a hold of it, did something about it. If he wouldn't have done nothing about it, I probably wouldn't have been able to do that for him again. It probably wouldn't have worked again. If something had been required of him. But he found out about it. He decided, Kenneth Hagin used that example of a minister who was a diabetic. And I mean, severe diabetes. And taking shots, I forget how many shots he had to have a day back at that time. And he wanted to go to these certain meetings that Brother Hagin was going to. And Brother Hagin, he said, you know, because of his diabetes and his trouble he'd have. Brother Hagin said, if you go with me to that meeting, he said, you go and stay with me. He said, you go ride in my car with me. He said, well, go stay in the hotel with me. He said, you'll never have any problem with your sugar all the time you're with me. And he said, we went for a week at the meetings. He never took one shot at the meetings. He could eat anything that he felt like doing. Every time he checked his sugar, it was fine. He said he went back home, and he said for 2 weeks it was the same way when he got back home, but then it went south. But the guy did develop, and within, I think, as Brother Hagin said, a year or so, he saw him a year or so later, he was completely healed of diabetes. He figured it out. But see, God used that as a thing. But this guy, he called Kenneth Hagin and told him, he said for 2 weeks, I didn't have to, after we got back, he said, I could eat anything I wanted. And he said, it didn't matter. My sugar didn't change or anything like that. He said, everything was fine. It was always good. So in those areas of, and see, there are areas of things that we can use our faith. But, you know, you have to have, I don't know if people tell it, then you have to have the inward witness in you. You just can't go around and just, I'm going to do this for this guy. Or I'm just going to do it. See, you don't do that. Listen on the inside. And then God will take the faith that you have and you can put it to work for others. But what people many times are trying to do, they're trying to decide what they can do. We don't always know where people stand in their faith. And, you know, somebody could, you know, sometimes I would thought certain people, God wouldn't have helped them at all. They're just pain in the rear end. God wanted to do something for them. Another person, you come along, you think God would surely want to do something for him, and he won't do a thing for him. Because you don't know really what's going on in the inside. What a person on the outside isn't always what it looks like on the inside. I've seen people that look good on the outside, seem well on the outside, were very bad on the inside. And you don't know that. You get around people, you don't know. Unless God reveals it to you, you don't know. I mean, Randy Greer told a story of a minister. He said he ministered in this guy's church. And he had a good-sized church, was very prominent among a lot of ministries and big-name people, and he was really quite prominent. Brother Randy said he was at a meeting, and he saw this man, and he said when he turned around and looked at him, he looked at his face, it was like a demonic-looking face. He said, oh, is this face covering his? The Lord said to him, religious spirit. Religious spirit. You know, a person can have a religious spirit, seem so spiritual, not even born again. They're possessed with a religious spirit. They'll talk religious, talk the Bible, do all kinds of stuff. If you don't know, Randy said we were in a room praying. He was in a room praying with this guy, and he said this guy prayed, started praying. And what They said it was tongues. And he said, it wasn't any tongues that I know. He said, it made me so uncomfortable. He said, I had to get up and leave the room. I've experienced that with a person praying in tongues already. It was demonic. And everybody said, Christian, they're filled with the Spirit. They weren't filled with the Spirit. They had a religious spirit, and it was demonic. And when they prayed, I'm going to tell you, to me, it was like somebody taking chalk on a chalkboard going, that's all it sounded like to me. I'll tell you, you talk about irritating. Irritating. It was downright irritating. So the Lord told Brother Randy, don't go to his church. Don't go there and be there and minister. Well, this guy's calling Randy all kind of trouble because Randy wouldn't go to his church, and he started telling all kind of stuff about Randy, saying Randy was a bad guy and he didn't thought he was too good for him and all this stuff. And all these ministers and all that. And Brother Randy went to the leadership of the ministry and told them about the individual and what he saw and what happened. Oh, you couldn't have said, no, not that guy. No, no. I'll tell you, we got the dumbest leaders out here. And so many big name people out here you think they're dumb as a stick. Comes to spirituality. When I was a young Christian, I ran into so much of that where I knew things God revealed to me, and the guys that were in charge over them, they get so over into the areas of being in charge, they don't ever listen to nothing in the Spirit. And this guy turned around and after a period of time and took off with a woman in the church and that stuff and left and just went out into the world. He never was saved. He never had just, you know, left everything, went out and did it, and, you know. Brother Hagin talked about being in a church. He said one of the churches he went to pastor, he said he was voted into the church, and he went to the church. That's the way they did it at that time. They'd vote a pastor in, the congregation would. He said he went to take over the church. And he said the day that he came in to take over the church, and he said the first Sunday in the church, he said one of the board members walked up and shook his hand and congratulated him on getting to church. And he said, I'm going to be leaving here. He said, I can't stay here with you here. He said, because he said, the other people I could. He said, you know, he said, I'm not a Christian. I've never been born again. He said, I just decided I was going to come down here to these people and I was going to get in here and I was going to become a board member and stuff. And he said, I could get away with it with them. But he said, I can't get away with that with you. He said, you know. And he said, that guy never was born again. He never was a Christian, never had no interest in being a Christian. He just wanted to prove to people he could go down there and get in that church and go ahead and get in there. Just think of that. He's in there making decisions in that church. Those people don't know God. They don't know what's going on spiritually. Do you know what? I would bet any amount of money there's people in that church had a sense about that man that something was wrong, and no, that can't be right. He's a leader in the church, and they just kept ignoring it. I bet you the pastors did it. I bet you they just ignored it. Like it wasn't true. Just keep ignoring it. Keep, no. I don't want to think anything bad about my brother. Well, if what the Holy Ghost is showing you is true, you better think what the Holy Ghost is saying. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk some more about this. We'll do some teaching more in this area about using our faith. Because the church has to grow up in these areas and understand. Because, you know, we want to be really, it was like Kenneth Hagin used to use the term of being the jack of all trades and the master of none. There's areas we need to become masters in to understand. And the areas of prayer is becoming the most effective that we can be in an area. And understanding and not wasting our time. I know I've wasted my time already over the years in praying about things because I prayed about stuff and really what I thought about it and prayed about it. But and the Holy Ghost trying to show me stuff or sometimes I never even ask. Spent time in prayer, you know. Spent time in prayer concerning one individual, prayed off and on for him for a year. It was only a few years ago I was back praying for an individual. I'd been praying on and off for an individual for about 6 months. Do I really sit down and talk to the Lord about this individual, what's going on? And the Lord told me, he said, you can't help them. He said, they got a demonic spirit. And he said, they won't do nothing about it. They know what to do and they won't do anything about it. And he said, you can pray all you want for them. And he said, you can't change it. They have to change it. They know what to do. They're yielding to the wrong thing and they need to do it. Well, I thought, I sure did it. If I'd have got sense the first time I prayed, I'd found that out. But you know what? You get over and you want to bring a change, and sometimes you can't. See, one of the things that I'd gotten in trouble with the Lord were when the Lord spoke to me at Reese's there, where that voice thundered. That was because I was in prayer trying to push to make a change on it for an individual. And the Lord told me to let them alone. See, when the Lord, I had talked to the individual even. The Lord told me what the individual did and what the individual said and what they were doing and how they were disobedient to the Lord and knew it. The Lord said it's going to take them a long time to get straightened out. That individual is still not straightened out today. And this goes back to 1983. Well, about 80, the end of 82 is around there started. And that individual still isn't straightened out. And the Lord told me, you let it alone. They got over into up into knowing disobedience to God, and they got over into things and opened the door to demonic powers. Because they were going to do it their way. And I got over there, and I was going to try to force a change to get that thing changed. You know, you're like an enemy, you're like a person, and you want to see, don't want to see them. You don't want to see them. I mean, this individual, this demon would operate through them and do stuff, and man, they'd operate, they'd get over in the areas of fear. I mean, you see a grown man sit and cry like a little baby. He can't handle things and stuff, and you see that kind of stuff goes on. That's not any fun to see. And for a while, I could help him. For a while, I could take authority over that spirit and stop it. But he'd never take his place, and the Lord told me to let it alone. And that's one of those things you have to learn. You just can't force your things over on other people. They have a will, and we have to learn that. Father, we just want to thank you tonight for these things, Lord God. As we're going looking into these things, Father, you're not teaching us things to bring any condemnation on anybody or anything, but Father. We don't want to have a hit-and-miss prayer life. And Father, we truly do. We want to help people. And boy, surely people need help. And Father God, we want to know who we can really help and, Lord, who we can't. Father, we want to know what we need to pray or what we don't need to pray. And we want to thank you, Father God, as we look to you, the great Holy Spirit, who is dwelling in us, the one who guides us and leads us in the truth, will teach us in these things, will instruct us in these areas, so we can walk and be effective, hallelujah, Father God, to bring glory to Jesus, where Jesus Christ is magnified, where Jesus Christ is glorified. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, we just want to say tonight, we just appreciate so much, Lord God, Father, that you're giving us wisdom in these areas, that, Father, we can help. And Father God, we do want to help people. And so we thank you that you're going to use us, Father, that Jesus Christ will be glorified in the earth and magnified. His name will be lifted up. And Father, men will be drawn to Jesus. Father, we don't want them drawn to us. We want them drawn to Jesus. Hallelujah. We want Jesus to be the one in the forefront. Father, that they might see as when Jesus ministered and they said they glorified the God of Israel, that they would see God was working through us and not we were just something special. But Lord God, that we were hooked up with the God of heaven. Hallelujah. And he was revealing his glory through us. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.